This is going to be Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to see benefits of being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Many people think being a Christian is a horrible thing because they claim you don't have freedom. They don't realize that although as a Christian you need to serve Jesus Christ and you need to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ, if you live in the world, you have to serve sin. And there is more freedom in Jesus Christ than the world ever had to offer. The worldly things don't satisfy, and you give yourself over to your sinful lifestyles. You give yourself over to fornication. Why do you think you have such a hard time not fornicating if you're living that lifestyle? Why do you think you have such a hard time not lusting? Why do you think you have such a hard time with drunkenness if you're going out and getting drunk? It's like you can't stop drinking. Why you have such a hard time smoking? Not smoking. You give yourself over to your sinful habits and lifestyles, and those things rule you. You're not really free. And that is why you have such a hard time when you try to quit. And every Christian should be a prisoner for Jesus Christ. And here is the benefits of being a prisoner. Number one, you will get revelations from God. Ephesians 3:1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And Paul was literally in prison at this time. But he was also a prisoner, and that his world revolved around serving God. And he is the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, because he is the apostle to the Gentiles. This doesn't mean he didn't witness to Jews. It just means his primary ministry was to the Gentiles. Ephesians 3:2 says, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward." God has always given grace to men. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in Genesis 6:8. So in Ephesians 3:2, it isn't referring to a dispensation called the dispensation of the grace of God, or a time period called the grace of God. A dispensation doesn't mean period of time. It means God dispensing something. So God dispensed grace here to Paul in Ephesians 3:2, it says, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God." You can use the word dispensation when referring to a period of time, but the actual word doesn't mean a period of time. But here is what God dispensed to Paul in Ephesians 3:3. It says how that by revelation. So Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and he got some revelations from God. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." So this mystery was hidden and wasn't revealed to anyone until Paul came along. And the fact that Jews and Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body was the mystery. The mystery of the body of Christ was revealed to Paul. That doesn't mean that the body started with Paul, because he talks about in Romans 16 how that there was people in Christ before he was in Christ. It just means that people didn't have the knowledge of the body of Christ until God gave it to Paul and he revealed it to them. Paul got some things revealed to him because he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He had his mind on Christ since he had met him on the road to Damascus. And if you want some things revealed to you, then be a prisoner. Labor in the word and doctrine. Lock yourself up with the Bible by yourself and beg God to show you something. He's not going to show you dreams and visions and all this crazy stuff that people come out with and try to get money. He's going to show you, reveal things to you in the Bible. You can be revealed things in the Bible that maybe not many people have seen before. But Ephesians 3:3 says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." So the better you know something, the fewer words you need to explain it. God made known unto him the mystery, and he got it in his heart and in his mind, and he knew it. When you read the Bible, write down some verses. Repeat them to yourself over and over, and this is how it will get in your heart, and then you will know it. You stay reading the Bible, you'll be able to explain Bible doctrine in few words. God had to make known unto him the mystery. Anything you find out in this book, the Holy Spirit has to make it known to you. Ephesians 3:4 says, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ." Notice that Paul takes for granted that Christians are going to read. He takes for granted they will read his epistles. In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." He tells us to study in 2 Timothy 2:15. Then here in Ephesians 3:4, he says, "When you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ." The natural man, the unsaved man, would not be able to understand what Paul is saying. What Paul says concerning any of the mysteries, they wouldn't be able to understand it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So, if you really want to understand the Bible, you need to get saved. And then you need to read it and study it. Ephesians 3:5 says, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So there were some things in other ages that they didn't know about. And they didn't have it revealed to the world until God gave it to Paul, and Paul revealed it to everybody. What wasn't made known unto the sons of men in this verse? The mystery of Christ. There were some things the Old Testament saints just did not have any idea about. And this shows that God will continue to reveal things to his saints throughout time. However, just because someone says they have a revelation or something from God doesn't mean that God gave it to them. The majority of so-called revelations you see are from people on the internet who are lying. A true revelation from God will line up with all the other scriptures. And it doesn't have to be something big. It can be something little that just gives you help in a time of trouble. All these people saying the world's going to end this year and all that stuff, that's not from the Bible. But Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The fact that the Gentiles and Jews should be fellow heirs and of the same body is a mystery. And this is referring to the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22-23 says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And we get in this body by believing the gospel. When we believe the gospel, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what puts us in the body. And both Jews and Gentiles have to believe the same gospel to get in this body. If a Jew doesn't believe the gospel, he's going to go to hell, just like a Gentile who doesn't believe the gospel is going to go to hell. But when the Jew or Gentile believes, they're put into the same body, and they are neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. They're all one in Christ Jesus. Physically, they still have those distinctions of being a Jew and a male or a female. But when they get in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond nor free. They're all one in Christ Jesus. When we get in the body by believing the gospel. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." The body didn't start with Paul, because Paul says in Romans 16, he talks about those who were in Christ before him. So it isn't true that the body started with Paul, but it is true that no one knew about the body before Paul. It's not really too far-fetched to believe. Think back about when you first got saved. You didn't know that you had been placed in the body of Christ. When I first got saved and I believed on Jesus Christ to save me, I didn't know I got put in Jesus Christ at that moment. And that is the mystery. It's a mystery how we're put in the body of Christ and how Christ is in us. But Paul spells out the mystery for you in the Pauline epistles. And the first people to get in the body didn't even have the Pauline epistles. Ephesians 3:7 says, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Like I said, Paul is a minister of the Gentiles. And now notice here, the gift given to Paul is the grace of God. Remember in Ephesians 3:2, where Paul says, the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me. That was God dispensing grace to Paul. God gave it to him. And then Paul talks about the gift given to him, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. It isn't that a dispensation is a period of time, so this isn't a dispensation called the grace of God, because God's grace is always present. It was always here. It is that God dispensed grace to Paul. And although God's grace may be shining more in this present time, it has always been present, and he dispenses it in different ways. There's no way that Noah would have been able to do what he did unless God had grace with him. Although God's grace may be more prevalent now, that doesn't mean it wasn't always around. But if you're saved and you dedicate yourself to the Word of God and the service of Jesus Christ, becoming a prisoner for him, then you'll get some revelations. Next, if you become a prisoner for Jesus Christ, you will be humble. Ephesians 3:8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Notice that Paul said, who am less than the least of all saints. Paul's progressive maturity as a Christian is shown in his epistles, because first he said, I am the least of the apostles. Then he said, I am less than the least of all saints. Then he eventually says he is chief of sinners. If you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ and you lock yourself up in prayer and in Bible reading, then you will come out seeing yourself as unworthy. Paul is possibly the greatest Christian who ever lived, yet he was a humble sinner. In Romans 7:13, he says that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. If you spend your time around the King James Bible and fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers who live right, you'll see yourself as unworthy. If you ditch Bible reading for magazines and ditch fellowship with God for an idol and for other things, you'll say to yourself, I'm not so bad, because you're looking at all these other people who are way worse than you. For a person to see themselves as not so bad, they have to have a very low standard of morals and a very low standard of what sin actually is. Ephesians 3:8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Notice that Paul says the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul is humble enough to know that even though he has revelations from God, God showed him things that he never showed anyone else. There are still some things that are unsearchable. Paul wasn't puffed up in his knowledge. Paul knew the book backwards and forwards. He wrote a lot of it. And imagine if Paul had eSword or Sword Searcher, how smart he would be. There are some things about Jesus Christ that you can't find by doing an eSword search. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. A pitfall for a Bible believer is getting puffed up in his knowledge. You want to stay balanced. You want to learn a lot of Bible, but yet stay humble. Paul got more revelation than anyone, yet he stayed humble. And I guarantee you he didn't put all his brothers and sisters on blast and try to ruin their mystery because he knew something they didn't know. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. You would be better off to be a Christian with charity who only knew John 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 than you would be to be a mean, hateful Christian who knew the whole Bible by heart. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Read the phrase, fellowship of the mystery. It's easy for me to fellowship with others who have the mysteries of the Bible correct, such as the deity of Christ, the body of Christ, the indwelling Christ, the rapture, the restoration of Israel, and so on. But some men are so unhumble, they can't fellowship with anyone because they think they are smarter than everyone else. And they have become a prisoner to trying to outdo other Christians. They're not a prisoner of Jesus Christ. They're a prisoner of trying to become the greatest. It is a contest for them to see who can be the greatest. But Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Some things were hidden. God hadn't revealed some things. And when Jesus Christ talks about the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel that saves us today, he talks about it to the disciples, and they had no idea what he was talking about. People go around saying that they were saved by looking forward to the cross in the Old Testament. But Luke 18:34 says, and they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And this is right after Jesus Christ tells them about the death, burial, and resurrection. It says, they understood none of these things, and the saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. It wasn't because the disciples were stupid. It's because those things were hidden. Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The gospel was hid from the disciples, so were they lost? No, the disciples weren't lost. The gospel was hid from them, but they weren't lost. Why is this? It's because they were living in a completely different age, a different period of time. They weren't living in the age that we're in, the church age. And this is 100% proof that they weren't quote-unquote saved, just like we are today. They didn't even understand the gospel that we believe today for salvation. Now, if you're humble and you're not concerned about sticking up for your belief more than you are the truth, then you'll see the truth that I just gave you from the Bible. Let's look at more of that in Luke 18. Look at Luke 18:32. It says, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And that is the disciples who walked and talked with the Lord Jesus Christ every day. So if they did not understand the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection, then how did the Old Testament saints look forward to the cross and see the death, burial, and resurrection? So if we go by the Bible, they definitely weren't saved by looking forward to the cross. It's just not there. Now Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ created everything. He was there in the beginning, before the beginning. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The principalities and powers didn't even know God's plan completely and didn't know what he was going to do with the church. God is working on us and using the church to teach the principalities and powers about his wisdom. And if the angels don't even understand the Lord, then we can understand him. His ways are past finding out. You need to be humble and realize that if the angels that are up there with Jesus Christ and see God face to face, if they don't even understand everything about God, then you don't understand everything about God. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We get straight into the throne room because we are already sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We have boldness to enter in the Holy of Holies. A benefit of being a prisoner of Jesus Christ is boldness. Hebrews 10:9 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And if you are living like a prisoner of Jesus Christ, then you really, really get boldness. You know how it is when you are living right, you're confessed up, you're prayed up, and you don't have any sin keeping you down, and you just studied for about 2 hours, you feel like you have more boldness to enter in and talk to God. And I'm confident I can get a prayer answered because the one I pray through is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Paul's boldness is what got him in prison. Christians face persecution because of their boldness and willingness to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So a benefit of being a prisoner of Jesus Christ is, if you're a prisoner for Jesus Christ, then you'll endure tribulation. Paul is in jail. He is the biggest prisoner for Jesus Christ that I know of. Philippians 1:14 says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That's what Paul says in Philippians 1:14. So many people were waxing bold and getting confident through seeing Paul be bold and confident and getting put in prison. His hardship and tribulation was making Christians get confidence and boldness. Paul's boldness and toughness to endure tribulation was an encouragement to Christians to live right and endure tribulation themselves. Now notice, Paul was enduring tribulation all the way back then. Just because the word tribulation shows up in your Bible doesn't mean it's referring to people in the tribulation, what people call the tribulation time period or the great tribulation. The real name for that time is the time of Jacob's trouble. Christians have always went through tribulation, but we are going to go out in a rapture before the time of Jacob's trouble, what people call the tribulation. The tribulation isn't a title, it's a description of that time. So don't let your own tribulation or the tribulation of others hold you back. 1 Thessalonians 3:3-4 says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. So Christians today are going through tribulation. They're prisoners of Jesus Christ. They're not giving up on Jesus Christ because of persecution. There's Christians in other countries getting their head chopped off for being a Christian. They're going through tribulation, but not what people call or refer to as the tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble. Ephesians 3:14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is in a long list of saints who bow down at the feet of Jesus Christ, the true God. And everybody will bow. Even atheists one day will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The family is made up of Old Testament saints, the body of Christ, future time of Jacob's trouble saints, and saints from the millennium. That makes up the family. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Paul prays for the saints to have strength. So if you need something to pray about, pray God will give your brothers and sisters in Christ strength in their hour of weakness or when they're in temptation. Pray that they'll be able to endure temptation. Psalms 18:32 says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You get strength from God. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to get strength in their hour of weakness. You can be a prisoner of Jesus Christ when you stay on your knees in prayer. it can be hard to pray. Ephesians 3:17-19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You can't describe the love of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The love of Christ passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as it says in Colossians, "And he lives in me." You have the person who says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You have that person who said that is living in you. He loved you enough to die for you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." A lot of people overemphasize the love of God, and a lot of people overemphasize the hate of God. But if you're saved, you're a born-again Christian, you have the love, the person who loved you enough to die for you is living in you. Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." The power working in us is the Holy Spirit, and he is the one powerful enough to raise Jesus Christ up from the dead. He's powerful enough to raise you up from the dead when you got saved. So he's powerful enough to do anything in you. The Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." God does more for you than you even know about. He does exceedingly above all that we ask or think, as the verse says here in Ephesians 3:20. And Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So the things you're going through as a prisoner of Jesus Christ are not going to compare with the things you're going to get in heaven. The pleasure and excitement and joy and happiness that you'll face in heaven is way more than the sufferings you're going to face in this present life. The devil can't torture you as much as God can give you happiness. The happiness that God gives you in heaven is going to outweigh the torture that the devil gives you in this earth. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." You have no idea what is waiting for you in heaven. You have no idea the trouble that God has kept you from on this earth. If you're saved, then you'll never know how hot hell is. Have you ever thought about that? You'll never understand how hot hell is, like the people that are going there. Jesus Christ took your hell. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You have no idea the gloriousness of heaven waiting for you on the other side. You don't know what eternity is like. You don't understand God's mercy. God's mercy is God keeping you from something you don't deserve, or keeping you from something you deserve, like hell. And his grace is God giving you something you don't deserve, like your salvation. You don't understand his mercy and grace. He's keeping you from going to hell, and he's giving you salvation so you can go to heaven. And we talk about how bad hell is at times, but heaven is as good as hell is bad. Hell is complete torture and torment. Heaven is complete happiness and joy and pleasure. Ephesians 3:21 says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." The world without end is the world in eternity. And if you're saved, you're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're lost, You're going to spend eternity in hell. And you don't realize yet what is waiting for you on the other side. And if you want it to be as good as it can be, then you need to be a prisoner for Jesus Christ and get rewards and crowns and everything you can get. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You need to be having your mind on spiritual things, the things that are eternal, and get your mind off your material things, the things that are temporal. And you're going to come out a lot better at the judgment seat of Christ. Eternity will be better for you. The millennial kingdom will be better for you if you live for Jesus Christ now and be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But this has been Ephesians chapter 3.